Where's my music? Hello, can you hear me? Music. I don't have any music, apparently. Hello, I'm Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Grown-Up Storytime. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Any better? I'm supposed to have some... What's loading? You can hear me. Hey, Tom, how are you? That is fantastic. I'm supposed to have some music, but I'm just going to turn it off and, you know, not have any. How are you? Tom Menard is in the chat. Perfect timing. You just finished work. Oh, that's great. Yes. Well, I'm on England time because Posey's coming in and I get to chat with Posey and have a little interview. So I'm on the GMT time. And apparently over there was like just what daylight savings. That's what it's called. And so, yeah, Posey has been involved in so many projects and has so many things going on, and she has some new work out published, and I wanted to, just find out about all of that. You're still adjusting to the, Tom is still adjusting to the GMT daylight savings, you know, but they didn't warn me when I was, there's no time, because we already had ours. Didn't I already have mine? I think I already had mine. You'll kind of, you're always interesting, Posey. We're going to enjoy you so much. You want to go ahead and call in. Posey's in the chat. Posey's in the chat. And Maria's in the chat. And Tom is in the chat. And yay! These are why the morning podcasts are fun, is because I get some time zone people. Good morning. My music isn't working for some reason, so I'm just going to ignore it. Hopefully I have it turned off and it won't just start blasting while we're talking.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You?
Not bad. I have discovered the joys of writing too much. I don't have a great ergonomic computer setup and or desk setup. And so, yeah, I've had to plan finagle things because my back and my wrist said, nope, we're done.
So you've got a little bit of RSI, have you?
Yeah, a little bit. I have a little bit. And once you have that, it's like, then you have to manage it. It just never seems to go away.
It's true. I must admit, I've suffered with it in the past.
How are you managing it? How are you? I mean, did you get a different setup and that helped, or is there a specific exercise? Is there a website?
It definitely is to do with the setup of your desk. You have to make sure you're mm-hmm. not putting your wrist or your elbow or whichever bit of you've been hurting. You have to not be putting it at funny angles. As if you sort of imagine your tendons are going through all the joints. If you imagined a piece of rope rubbing on the edge of something, it would fray. So your tendons do the same, but they inflame. So you have to have a gentle slope to your arm and your wrist. And so you might need your chair a teeny bit higher so that your arm waterfalls down to your laptop. You have to sort of make sure you're not doing any funny, jerky angles in your arms and wrists.
Yeah, I might be getting I have a really fun, it's called a Quirky Writer keyboard. It makes all the fun noises of an old fashioned keyboard, but it's not particularly wide. And so my arms are going, my hands too, for the keyboard are probably too close together. I need a slightly wider one. And I think I've got the chair right. I've messed with it. I spent hours messing with it yesterday. I'm sorry. Tangent. I want to hear, you are doing so many things this year and you have so much going on. I don't know where you want to start. Do you want to just start from what you're doing on the internet and then we'll kind of expand out to what people can get on print or digital, or do you want to start on print and digital and then go into various collaborations on the wider internet? Where's the best place to start?
Shall we start with the Rachel Kramer Bussell anthology, Best Bondage Erotica, Volume 2, which I'm in?
Volume 2. Yes, I would love to start there. You have a story in there that you let me read that I had I really it was realistic enough that I had to work through my thought processes and because I saw myself in that situation in the story, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. So I want to hear the story. How did you get in this Best Bondage Erotica anthology? How did that happen?
Well, that happened through Twitter. I follow lots of people, but anyone who uses Twitter knows that if you interact with someone a lot, then they're going to keep coming up on your timeline or your feed. If you
Yes.
don't interact with someone very much, and of course Rachel Kramer Bussell is, big, powerful publisher lady, I don't interact with her that much. But luckily, somehow, I just spotted that she was calling out for submissions. She was actually calling out for two at once. The Best Women's Erotica, Volume 6 or 7, I can't remember which it was at the time. But that's such a big, wide playing field. I did put something in for that, but that one wasn't successful, and I heard back quite quickly that that wasn't successful. But this other one, gosh, I ended up writing right into the night on the deadline because I was trying to submit the two, and I'd actually gone over my word count. So, like, a tired person having done a whole day of work was trying to trim a story and make it their best. So I really didn't have high hopes of it. I literally sent it and didn't look at it ever again because I thought, I'm going to be so angry with myself if I've made stupid mistakes. But I got a message on Christmas Eve to say, we're considering it. And then
Oh,
on New
wow.
Year's Eve, I think I heard, yeah, they do want it. So I think I kind of, it was about 2 years between submitting and knowing that it was definitely published. Or definitely
Wow.
going to be going in the anthology. You have to kind of submit your story, and she says to you, you mustn't submit it anywhere else, and you mustn't nag me. You've got to let me have it for 2 years before,
Wow.
we know what's happening. So you've got to be very patient.
That is really difficult. I so letting it go and then forgetting about it is probably the best idea.
Exactly.
I want to know a little bit about the process of submitting to a big anthology like that. Do you just send the whole story? Do you have to do the blurb or a cover letter? Is there are there other requirements in it for I know they're probably everyone is probably different actually, but I'm just curious what her requirements were.
Her requirements are very, very carefully put out on part of her website. You go and you can see exactly what font to use, what line spacing, what indent she likes. It has to be
Oh,
Americanized
wow.
spelling, so I have to put it through Grammarly because obviously I will have done it the English way. They actually had to ask me to include a little bit more explicit wording about the bondage because, of course, it is but a bondage anthology. Everything had to include bondage, so I just sort of I think I'd perhaps more hinted at it, and so I had to ramp that up a little bit. And you have to submit it absolutely finished, as sparkly and shiny as you possibly can, and then she might come back to you with some edits. And then she asks you to write a blurb, and then later on, when you know that you're going to be published, she asks you to pick a little section that she's then going to put out with some pictures for advertising. It was lovely to kind of know about all this process because I've only done I am in a couple of other anthologies, but they are self-published, and so the people publishing them are probably almost as novice as me.
Well, that is a little bit, as you describe the process, it does sound with what I'm familiar with, as far as, more print, traditional print requirements, and very like with the font size and the formatting, and the that they just want always a continuity across submissions. And I've submitted once to an online go because it's so intimidating to me. And
Oh, I
here
get
you are, you're doing the one that got accepted, in one night. Oh man, that's amazing. And then I go through that thing. Oh, it's gonna be crap. Nobody's gonna, it's terrible. Why am I doing, So just for the little things that I do, and just so the process of submitting to something that requires, it just takes me back to my school days, and I get really tense, so I
It
don't do
was, yeah. I felt
it.
like I was doing an exam. I was hot. I was sweating. I literally, as I'm reading her email about the fonts and the indenting and all that sort of thing, I am actually breaking out into a sweat. I did one earlier this year for her again, and because the thing is, what she particularly likes is new writers. So I can never, never submit anything for that particular anthology again. I'm in number two, and that's it. But she does anthologies on all different
Does she have
kids.
romance?
I'm not sure. I
Oh,
feel
yeah,
you'll have to have a I'll
maybe.
have to have a browse. But this, the one that I most recently did was multiple partners.
Oh.
So I sort of thought up a scenario and submitted that to her. But yes, I haven't heard anything. And almost because of what happened last time, almost the longer it goes on, the more hopeful I get, because the one that got rejected was rejected very quickly.
Oh wow. There you see, no news is good news, literally.
That is what I'm feeling, yes.
Maybe. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I hope so. I'll have to wish you luck on that second one. Do you want
Thank
to
you.
tell me, can you give me a little preview? I know that I've read it, but for the audience, about the story that you submitted and the process of your idea. Where your idea came
Yes.
from?
I think I'll tell you why I think I was successful, and that is because the person I wrote about, Gail, a real estate agent who she'd been somebody's mistress for years, and suddenly she was out of that relationship, and having to start again when everybody had families and the men of her age had baggage and quite a difficult situation. So she wasn't really thinking that she was going to even date, but she'd got involved with what you always refer to as not safe for work Twitter, and she had a friend. She had a
Yes,
friend
very
who was a
much.
who was a dominatrix, and her friend she just would chat with this friend, and this friend sort of pointed in her in the direction of good writing and that sort of thing, and she starts to get interested in a particular writer who writes much, much darker things than she's ever even thought about before, certainly things that darker than she's ever tried. And it kind of builds her curiosity. So my character is a complete newbie. She's a complete novice. And I think that's one of the things that Rachel Kramer Bussel wanted. She wanted the whole spectrum of, right from newbie like I wrote about, to much more experienced people, to people that kind of might do bondage at a munch, a gathering, might do people that might kind of do bondage with a stranger, and people who would do it in an established relationship. So she wanted the whole range of interpersonal experiences, and so I think I lucked in writing about a beginner, because perhaps she didn't have anything like that.
That it, yeah, well, I mean, that anthology is really big. There's a marvelous selection in there, so, about all different kinds of writers in erotica. And so, yeah, that you just lucked in. Maybe she didn't have a newbie. Well, it is a wonderful story, and I want to encourage people to. I liked that it was. I don't read a lot of erotica, just because there's not, for me personally, there's the fantasy aspect of erotica. What it's called a pansexual, I think. I only relationships for me, I can only even thinking about a sexual relationship, I like to have a serious emotional connection. So outside of that, even reading about it in fantasy is just not my particular cup of tea. And so erotica, you know, we've talked before, erotica is the sexual journey of one person. It's not about the relationship journey. And I'm so much more comfortable in the romance aspect of that. So I don't tend to read a lot of erotica. And I liked your story because it felt very, I mean, it could have been, you don't know. I mean, it's short, so you don't know what happens at the, you don't know where that exploration leads, but it felt very real world to me. There were a lot of ways I could relate to it. And being able to read an erotica story that kind of opens your eyes or teaches you something or shows you something new about yourself, that can't ever be a bad thing. That's always got to be a good thing. And you should be really proud that you wrote something like that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
I so
no, I
you
think so.
yeah I mean yeah I've read of You've got so many other projects going on. I've dipped in, touched some of them. I cannot keep up with you though. You and May and everybody else are so. I just tried to retweet all the stuff and share because there's so many marvelous things going on. So that's your book in print. That's out now on Amazon, and you can get it in the US too. I know. Yeah, I just want to encourage people to check that out. So, what's your next project? It's already March. I can't believe how fast this year has gone. It feels like yesterday was January. But so, what else are you working on? Are you doing any other? You submitted to one, but are you doing any other kind of published collaborations this year?
Let me think.
Just in case.
Yes, I'm doing a collaboration with a friend of mine whose name, his writing name is Cousin Ponds,
Yes,
and
that's right.
that he likes to write things. I mean, he writes like most of the people that I like to follow. He writes a range of things, but one of his real specialities is writing things with a historical flavour. So he's very good at the slightly more formal language, and he's very, very good at all the details. He comes from quite a theatrical background, so he's very well read on historical reality as and classic books and that sort of thing. So I was listening to a podcast called sorry, just turning the page so I can remind myself what it was called actually. The podcast was actually about the memorabilia and things to do with crime and criminals and people's fascination with that. And in one of the podcasts, the narrator really went, she went to some universities and she spoke to some real experts about the mystical power that people imagine. Maybe they still imagine, but certainly back in the day when they were less educated, imagine it existed in the bodies of criminals. I don't know if you'd ever heard of this, but people thought that hanged men, you know, men that had been hung at the gallows, their bodies had healing powers and that sort of thing. So
Oh no,
Ponds
I'd
and
never
I.
heard that. I'd heard a lot of, well, not a lot, but I mean that's new. I've the bones of saints and stuff, you know, having healing powers, but hanged men having healing, like people who were horrible in life having healing powers, that's
I know it does seem kind of contradictory, doesn't it?
Yeah,
But
that's a big contrast.
it's going to be quite dark, but Norfolk, it's sort of like the heel of England, if you visualize England as a, I don't know, kind of like a triangle shape. Norfolk, that's the fenland, that's the very flat bit of England that the Vikings kept invading. They'd bring their boats and come across, and Pons knows Norfolk very well, and I know Norfolk very well. So we're going to set our story there, and we're going to work on this superstition, and because I mean, you've probably it came over to Salem, didn't it? In
Yeah, the
England.
Salem witch trials, and yeah,
That's right,
is that
and
what
it
you
was sort
mean?
of. It was happening in England, and unfortunately, we kind of sent it over the water with us. But people were very suspicious and superstitious. They would go to the wise woman, the cunning woman. Cunning just means wise in Old English.
Yeah.
To have help when they had toothache and wanted they wanted her. She was quite often the midwife. They wanted her to deliver the babies, and then they wanted a love charm, and they wanted a this and a that. And then if the woman didn't, if they'd had to turn her away or something, and then something bad happened, they would assume that the cunning woman had put a curse on them. And so
So they
this
go to
is,
her for help, and then
yes. And then
if
she's
they
the
need
first
her,
person
and
they
then
blame.
yes, exactly.
Exactly. And so that's how the sort of the witch hunts began in England,
Yes.
and all that sort of superstition, and I think it does fascinate people. I mean, there's been so many books and films and
Yeah.
plays written about it that I thought, yeah, I think Pons and I can get in on that. We can write something.
So is this going to be a dark erotic romance or a dark erotic story, or is it just a dark story that you're collaborating on, or how are you?
I think it's going to be dark without erotic. I think it's going to be dark with sort of love gone wrong. That's where I think it's going to be, because in another project that I'm going to rabbit on about in a minute, and I'm my friend May and I are trying to move towards, as well as erotic writing, tales that are tantalizing. So it could be
Yes.
supernatural, it could be like this is dark, and this is about superstitions. I think we feel like we want to expand, don't want to stop doing erotica, but don't want to only do erotica. So
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. I had read one of Pons's story on Tantalizing Tales, the website that you and may have on Medium. It was a ghost story that sounded I used to get these I think they were Ripley's Believe It or Not. And there were these books, and they'd have little blurbs and little comics in them. And Ripley's, Believe It or Not, was a guy who went around and he was a real person, actually, who here in the States, who gathered weird things, just strange things, some that were real, some that were not. And it seems to me, I read some, there were some, I love them because there's a little bit of macabre in there. It seems to me there would be ghost stories in there, like in 18 such and such, this happened, and then 200 years or 20 years later, this happened, and it would connect them. So for some reason, his story reminded me of going through these Ripley, Believe It or Not, and then reading. I could just see it in my head. The story that he wrote was he goes to a hotel, and he's in the hotel, and he hears this couple come in, and they're just wild, and they're having a great time, and very, very
Very noisy, aren't they? Yeah.
yes, very noisy about their great time together all night long. And then they get off, and he watches them leave, get in their car and leave. And then he makes a comment about it, and then finds out, oh, I'm giving it away, but it's part of that. I could feel it coming because of the Ripley's and Believe It or Not. I thought, is that going to be, is that going to, because there's something, there was a tinge. Sometimes a good writer can get that kind of eerie music in the background. You hear it instinctively because you're reading, you're not adding, you know, obviously there's no, but you hear it always stops at a lonely motel in the middle of nowhere. And you kind of, you're like, so I'm like, there's going to be a catch. There's going to be a catch. They're going, oh, there it is. And but it was really well written. And I felt that moment of dawning, you know, on his character's senses when he realizes, what? No. You know, those were no, I'm sure that couldn't possibly, that's not what I saw. So I felt that moment of shock. Yeah, he's a really great writer. That must
He
be
is. Yeah.
what a fun time you're gonna have.
I think so. Yes, I'd already asked him to collaborate with me, and then in editing Tantalizing Tales, because May and I curate it together, and I tend to do the editing, the proofread, to make sure everybody's stuff is all shiny and polished before we press publish. And May tends to do the design of the site. And when I read that by Pons, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to up my game a bit. This is a stellar piece of writing because, as you say, you're getting the prickles. You're getting that sort of Bonnie and Clyde feeling about the couple. You're getting
Yes, very much.
you feel that they're burning too fast, and there's going to be something. You're waiting for the
Yes.
second shoe to drop, aren't you, when you
Yeah.
read it?
I thought, well, they're going to be ghosts or they're going to die right outside the hotel. Something is going to happen.
Yeah,
There's
you could
something.
feel it.
You could feel the music, the tension in it. And it was just so well crafted to get there, considering the kind of story it is, the tale that he's telling. To be able to craft that and weave that into there, I thought I was really quite impressed. And so that is really fun. So you've done a couple other collaborations as well. What do you like about collaborations? Why? I mean, if you were going to talk to other writers and say, this is why you should collaborate, this is how you'll grow, what would you tell them?
Well, I think I've said to you before that I am, for someone that likes writing erotica and likes writing about kinks, I'm actually personally quite vanilla. So a lot of the time I'm using my fantasies, or I've been inspired by other things I've read, or stories that people have been kind enough to tell me, because I don't know about you. I don't know if it's the Cancerian or whatever, but people do tell me things, you know. They just,
Yes.
it might be because I share. I am a bit of an oversharer, and maybe they think, oh, great, well, she said she does that, so I'm going to tell her I do that. But they tell me things, and I think, you know, especially if people in this community tell me things, I think to myself, well, they do know I'm a writer. They surely can't go thinking there won't be crumbs of that in whatever I write.
It's going to sneak in somewhere.
It can't help it. It just
Yeah,
influences.
it does.
But
It very much
yeah,
does.
when I collaborate with someone, I feel like they can add sprinkles to my vanilla, or they can bring some experience that I don't have. And I think I can be quite chameleon-like. So if I'm writing with someone who likes to write it rough and gritty, then I can merge with that. If I'm writing with someone, because I'm doing a collaboration nearly at the end of it now, actually. I've been doing a collaboration for almost the whole of lockdown with my friend Eve Ray, and she's a dominatrix in real life, and she is quite into masochism. And we're writing a story, a retro set in the 50s school days story. It's about a girls' boarding school, and she writes quite a masochistic headmistress, and
Oh my.
I'm writing a feisty French heiress. She's come to
Oh.
school. She's a year older than all the girls, because she's actually a show jumper, and she spent too much time show jumping, and she's kind of got behind with her education. So her father's thought, I know what I'll do. I'll give my daughter that English polish and send her to this English boarding school. But the headmistress is, she's got a real bee in her bonnet about the French, and she takes out quite a lot of her masochism on this girl. She will not stop punishing her, and almost like trying to trip her up so that she gets into trouble. And
So,
with all.
what is it like reading something like that with a vanilla background? Has it been, or writing something like it, has it been confronting for you at all? Have you had moments where you like, or have you just been diving into it with relish?
Yeah, it
I
is.
mean,
It is.
it's a little, it's out there fantasy wise. I mean, it sounds the just the you're in a boarding school, so she's being masochistic and she's permanent. Yeah, that's a being sued right there. You know
Yeah,
that. So
she's.
there is there,
Yeah,
there's a huge
we've
thing.
been very careful because sometimes what it appears that the headmistress is doing something, but it actually turns out it was just a daydream she had. So she doesn't necessarily do everything that she would like to do, and she's also kind of got a little side life where she goes off. The she goes off to. I suppose the word would be bordello. It's one of the ex-schoolgirls has set up her own kind of very grand knocking shop, and the headmistress, Miss Ranson, goes there to kind of be made to be submissive, because although she's obviously a switch, although she's being masochistic with the schoolgirls and giving them punishments that humiliate them and that sort of thing, she gets off on being humiliated herself. So a lot of the most raw things, which do actually make me go, yikes, are we really going to say that happens? She does as a consenting adult with consenting adults. So we make sure that we keep it. Yeah, nobody wants to get sued. Nobody wants to rock
Yeah,
things.
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, but there is that element of fantasy. It's not, you know, there is
Exactly.
stuff out there that is very much, I've come across a couple that I've been like, oh, what's this? Oh, that's what this is. I actually saw one a while ago that was based on the I love, I think you love it, Jane Eyre too, right? Yes,
I
Jane.
do.
I love Jane Eyre. And so I was, at the time, I was looking up every different version and every different, I don't know, I was just very obsessed. I was going through my and I came across an erotica series that was had been written a while ago, not in, I don't know, it might have been written in the 70s or 80s, but it was a while ago. And it was set in Lowood. And the instead of the headmaster, it was a headmistress. And it was quite a different take. It was very interesting fan fiction. It was
Oh.
like, so I checked this out and I'm like, what? Okay. No, well, I no, it's not working for me, but that's really interesting. Because you know all the torments that he puts her through in the school, you know, sitting the humiliation of sitting on the standing on the bench of the kind of being made the center of focus and all of that. This one character she gets put through, but it's from a erotic and then a female kind of and young, but it was so it was young. I mean, maybe they changed the ages a little bit, but yeah. So I've seen things kind of like that before. So it is it's a unique genre. It's a unique thing to jump into. I mean, that's neat that you're doing that. For me, that would be a little risky. I don't know. I find that I can do things once I start and get into things. I'm much better at it. If I overthink it, I don't know, maybe
Yeah,
that.
I think you're right. I think I did do that. I got my feet wet quite gradually, because I actually did go to boarding school, and so I did the first episode Eve does when the headmistress is actually retired, and she kind of is looking back. She sees that this girl Delphine has she's been a successful model, and there's like a great big 6-page spread of her in Vogue or something, and she's
Oh,
looking at
wow.
it, and she's looking back at the Delphine still. Beautiful figure due to all the riding and that sort of thing, and she's thinking back to those days. And then my first chapter was first day when Delphine arrives at school. So I'm describing the school, I'm describing all the things that would probably be foreign to a lot of people, all the traditions, bringing your stuff in the trunk, and Delphine hasn't got any parents seeing her off, and all the other girls have. And so I kind of got my feet wet very gradually by setting the scene. And I think my first couple of episodes had no sex in at all. In fact, that's the whole point. My Delphine is just really her, from her end of things, she is she's a bit of a manipulative girl. She is sort of using other girls, and she's sort of starting to have lesbian curiosity. But she does begin to realise how much she winds the headmistress up, and she is getting to enjoy winding the headmistress up. So if you look at that, she's having quite an innocent time. She doesn't really quite know what the headmistress is doing and how the headmistress gets off on things. That's sort of the two separate paths. And that's how Eve and I do it. We don't even plan what the story is going to be about. We are very good friends, and so we have a phone call about an hour every month, and we have a chat. And she might say to me, "Oh, I'm going to do this, that, and the other with my story." But until I've got her story in front of me, I don't think how Delphine is going to react. And so we write it back and forth. Hers lands in my inbox, and I read it. And I've got 2 weeks to think, what's Delphine going to do, and vice versa.
That's a really fun way to write that. That's really exciting way to write that, just back and forth like that.
That's really pushed the envelope for me, because Eve is a very, very talented writer. She's got a really interesting voice as an author, and she's whilst her kinks aren't always my kinks, it's really interesting to hear about them from another side. And as I say, she really makes me think on my feet. You know how people use a writing prompt or a writing meme sometimes to take themselves out of their comfort zone? I can honestly say every chapter I get from her takes me out of my comfort zone and think, what am I going to do next?
How am I going to respond to this? Exactly. And that I like that. You know, you were saying Delphine is kind of manipulating a little bit, and there's a dynamic that women have and that girls have with girls that I think probably baffles most men, and and just there's a uniqueness there in the subtext of the way women think and act, and when they're young, you know, that dynamic between girlfriends and the sometimes the subtle little power plays that you're not meaning to be not a negative aggressive, you know, thing, but at the same time there's the more damaged your background, the more need there is to be seen. And so in a group, in girls groups, girls will, you could see that little power play all the time. It's the cheerleader thing that happens, right? And so I just think that's a unique, to be able to write in that and play with that and see where that could take you. That's a fun aspect of it too. Yeah. You know, you don't have to be good. You don't have to be, you don't have to take the moral high ground. You can play a little, you know?
Yeah. I don't usually write someone nasty, but I have enjoyed that with Delphine. We did a little bit of character planning beforehand. So she's got, her mother's a gold digger, and she keeps marrying other people and pays no attention to Delphine at all. So that's the hunger for attention there.
Oh, there you go.
Her father's always busy, and has very young mistresses. So she's ignored there. She's used to the adulation from the when she does the show jumping. So she's rocked up at this school with her, she's called Delphine de Lotbiniere, and it's a very high aristocratic French family, lives in a chateau, and she expects everyone to know who she is. And one of the girls is all kind of all gushing because she's seen her riding at badminton, and she's like, yes, everybody knows who I am. But I wrote one episode where she's all on her own at Christmas. She pretends she's having a brilliant time, but she's completely on her own and completely ignored.
And, oh, wow.
she goes to stay with one of her school friends. They invite her to a party, and she's having a lovely time because she's wrapping her this girl's older brother around her little finger, and this girl's got a crush on her, and
Oh,
she's just
yeah.
thinking, she just like making like a little notes in her book. This person will be useful for this, and this person will be useful for that, because one of my regular readers commented, "Oh, I was just feeling sorry for Delphine. I was just th and I was like, really, you really thought that her you had a lift up underneath her hard shell, but the hard shell is still there."
So where can is this story, I mean, is it a serial? Can readers read it now, or are we waiting for
They
the full
can.
thing to come out?
Yes,
Ooh,
it
so where can readers find your story now?
well, at the moment, you have to kind of jump back and forth between mine and Eve's blog. We've published it, as I say, every couple of weeks. So one episode will be on mine, and then it'll say to be continued, and you have to jump to Eve's because the link will be at the bottom, and then you read Eve's, and then at the bottom it'll say to be continued on Posies. So at the moment, it's a teeny bit cumbersome to catch up with, but if you were, doing it in live time, you just literally waited every 2 weeks and read your next episode, because we always link it up with we always publish it on a meme called Wicked Wednesday.
Okay.
But we have a plan. We're really hoping that we can turn it into a book.
I think it sounds amazing. It sounds like it has all kinds of interesting depth and
Thank you.
layers to it that would be appeal to a lot of audiences, actually. It sounds really great. I want to make sure, I know I have your website link, but I want to make sure to get Eve's website link then too, so I can put that in the comments. So people, not in the comments, in the show description, so
Oh,
that if you're
yes.
listening to this and you want to be like, how do I find that story? That link will be there. And so, and then the Tantalizing Tales. I need that
Yes.
link. And
Yep.
then, are you, do you participate in the memes? Are you hosting the memes for
I
the,
don't host
for,
any memes.
okay,
May
you do.
hosts memes.
May host the memes
She
because you
hosts
retweet
several.
the memes. So I wasn't sure.
I do. Yeah. As the editor of Tantalizing Tales, I can access that Twitter persona, and I can get in there and tweet from there. And I obviously I retweet things. But I don't host any memes per se. I did think about it, but then I thought, oh, I'm so untechnical. May's just had to help me do a load of security on my blog, a security update, because I'm just not technical. But she's very good at all of that. I link up to memes. I like linking to them to write. There's so many good ones. And in fact, I'm going to do a name check for one of May's things. Now, she's got a she is one of three people that run a site called Bloggable, and that is a free resource for people that want to blog, and it teaches you how to do all sorts of things. It teaches you how to do your security, how to set up a Medium account. It teaches you how to put a badge on something if you want to do a meme, and then that badge, when every time people put that badge at the bottom of their stories or posts, it would then link back to your meme. They've got everything on there. They've got one of the resources that I just contributed to was they'd done a whole series on how to write reviews if you're someone that wants to blog reviews. So they did the sex
Oh,
toy
that's wonderful.
reviews, and
Yeah, that's what I
yeah.
wanted to mention, that Bloggable, it's open to anybody, but if you're part
Yep.
of the kinky community, you'll feel right at home because there are quite a few kinky blogs connected through that community, but it's open to everybody.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful thing too. So learning how to do all of that and then also connecting with an alternative community might be something, you know. Sometimes Blogging can seem so lonely,
Oh,
and
yeah.
building a website and just you're just out there on your own trying to figure out what how do I how are anybody gonna find me?
I
And so
know. Yeah.
I really want to recommend if you have a website, if you're a writer, even if it's your writer website and you're not sure what to do, to check out the bloggable website, because it's a great community. It's really positive. Like Posey said, there's a lot of education stuff there. And yeah, a lot of writers are still at the point, do I need a website? And so do I have to have a blog? So if you want to yeah, do that, I really recommend it, because it is a great community. Having, yeah, being able to connect with that community. I wasn't sure if you were a part of the team that set that up or not, so I'm so glad you mentioned that. I remember May was on and talked about it, and I'm like, okay, now did Posey, was she part of that? So we've talked about two collaborations you've got going on, and you were going to collaborate with the English gentleman as well.
I was, yeah, that I
Did
and I
that
have,
work?
yeah, it's partway there. It's in his pending tray now. He has read a couple of my stories because he's very good at the spoken. He does podcasts, and I'm sorry, English gentleman, but I can't remember the names of the different places that he exposes his stuff. But
He's also
he is.
on Reddit at GWA, I think, and yeah, he's all over. He was actually he's got a little account on TikTok too.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, he's got a lovely voice, and he having us having met online on your New Year's Eve sort of just general drop in and chat thing, he said to me via DM on Twitter, "Do you ever write things from a male point of view?" And I don't very often, because you know how they do say, write what you know. So I don't very often stand in the shoes of what I am not. But I have written a few from a man's point of view, and I had written one where I said to him, I can twist it just for you, so that can be from a man's point of view. And I think that's the one he read on New Year's Eve, and that's called Coitus Interruptus Vampire. And he actually that I narrated the story or wrote it so he could narrate it from the vampire's point of view. But he said to me, "Hey, Posey, I'd actually quite like to write a spy-themed story." He quite fancied writing a James Bond-esque character, perhaps a bit more, well, I was going to say more modern than James Bond, but James Bond is pretty much move with the times. I shouldn't say that about him.
Yes, very much.
So he asked me to write just a very, very short, like a radio play, which takes me out of my comfort zone because I don't normally write like that. So I wrote him rescuing, oh, it's an heiress again. Gosh, what, I must have some sort of heiress hang up. He's rescuing a girl, and so I wrote all this dialogue between the two of them, and he said, "Oh, I'm going to get quite into doing the sound effects. I'm going to do helicopters and, doors breaking
Oh
down and
my
all that sort of
goodness.
thing." And I'm going, "Oh, okay, fine." So I sort of wrote it, and then he said to me, "And are you going to read the girl for me?" And I was like, "Oh, well, I haven't really done any reading apart from when I read for you that first time I came on." But I said I could try, and he told me which app to download. And I've got a friend who does audio. I think you've interviewed her, Jupiter Grant. Well, she's a proper audio person, and she has the proper microphone and that sort of thing. But she did tell me that if you put a towel over your head, then that kind of soundproofs you. So I'm sitting in my bath.
You're
Yeah.
sitting in your
So
bath with a towel over
I was sitting in my bathroom, which would be a bit echoey otherwise, with a towel over my head and my headphones in and my app on my iPad. And I was r recording and reading, the dialogue and making the moans and groans.
I love it. Tom, I used to hear we should do that.
Well, I was so funny funny, I forgot to do the moans and groans. I had to go back and record them
Oh no, you
again.
had to do it again with the moans and groans. I don't know if I could do moans and groans to tell you the
Oh,
truth. But,
you know, the
oh my
towel really
goodness.
helped. The towel gave me
Did
anonymity.
That's right. I just need a towel to just be held into. Oh, that's so funny. That's perfect.
So yes, I'm waiting to hear the finished product.
Oh, I can't wait. You'll have to let me know. I'll m have to make sure to share that out. And if you want me to share it on the podcast, I will. It just sounds brilliant. Just brilliant.
It does sound like it should be fun, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. Very much so. And it sounds like a lot of fun. Oh, my. So have we, you're
Have we
doing
covered
so
everything I'm
much.
doing?
Yes, I want to make sure that we've covered everything you're doing.
Well, I did a collaboration. I've done a couple of collaborations with Indulgent Desires.
Yes, you have. How are you enjoying that? Are you enjoying that? We need to get you guys, you need to check out indulgentdesires.com. It is an incredible, incredible erotic art, literature, toy review, story, just everything magazine. And and the team that puts it together is just amazing people.
Yeah, it's
Amazing,
kind of
amazing.
like, I sort of see it like a digital version of Playboy magazine almost, because the photographs are so beautiful and
Yes.
the erotica and the poetry and the written stuff that's shared is very classy, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, I think we try to keep it classy. I don't know how much my writing is classy, but we try to
Oh,
keep it
tush.
somewhat classy.
Your writing is very classy. I mean, obviously it's modern. The thing I read of yours recently was quite modern, and I think,
Yes.
people might sort of, in their head they might think classy is old-fashioned, but it isn't. Modern can still be classy, and
Yes.
there's a lovely range of writers on there. And the nice thing
There
about
is.
it, people, let me tell you, is that you can have the unpaid version, or if you pay a subscription, you can unlock even more content.
Yes.
So yeah, so
And
it works on two
what was
levels.
your what did you su remind me what you submitted? What
Well,
stories did you have? I know there were a couple different things.
I did a couple of different things. One was humorous. There's me saying it's classy. One I wrote was humorous, because I was thinking, I think it was Shelley talking on New Year's Eve, actually. They were talking about, oh, we haven't tried ice, or we haven't tried custard, or we haven't tried something or other. And I was writing, I saw some pictures of someone doing something with food play, and I sent it to her and I said, does that inspire you, Shelley? And she said, oh, yes, it does. I'm going to send that to Stefan, because Stefan's the photographer, and get him, see what he thinks, what you see, what ideas that sparks for him. And then me having sent that to her got my mind thinking, and I said to her, I can write quite humorously, laugh at myself about sex and food failures if you want. And she was like, oh yes, that would be good, that sounds really good. So I had a little look at the clip from 9 and a half weeks, which I remember vividly, where Kim, how do you say it? Do you say Basinger or Bassinger?
Basinger, usually,
Basinger,
but
that
yeah,
probably is the right way to
that's
say
how
it.
I say it, anyways.
My dad used to call her Kim Bazinga, but that's just my dad.
That's not right.
That's
No,
not
that's not
what she wanted the people to call her. but she sits in front of an open fridge with her eyes shut, and he just sort of teases her with all this food. And so I looked at that and I thought, well, that's what sort of happens when it goes right. Although he does tease her with some chili pepper, and she ends up drinking all this milk because she's made a bite into a chili pepper.
That's right.
I thought, let me go back into the mist of time, into when I've tried playing with food and it's gone horribly wrong. And so I wrote a piece about that, kicking off with the 9 and a half weeks thing. And Shelley and Stefan took a lovely series of photographs inspired by my writing. So there is one where she's got all milk spilling down her, and oh, the droplets as they're dripping off her. Beautiful photographs. And so some
Yeah,
of
it's
her.
not funny at all.
No.
The photographs are just too sexy. Just
No.
beautiful.
Hers is
Yeah,
beautiful. Yeah. Mine was
absolutely.
funny. Hers was beautiful. But yeah, so some of that is in the unlocked content, and then for more, I don't know if they're more explicit or just extra photos, you need to pay for the paid content.
Yeah, and it's by the year, and it's really if I just think if erotic content is something that you enjoy, and it's not just erotic, it's also romantic, because that's where I lean, and a lot of some other writers lean that way too. And it's just this, oh, I want it to, it just needs to soar. Lockdown has been kind of hard on everybody though, so it just
Yeah.
needs to soar.
Although people
Oh.
have been visiting erotic sites a lot more
Yeah,
recently.
go visit Indulgent Desires.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, for classy, glossy, magazine-y type
It's
stuff. And the
just
other thing I wrote
beautiful.
for them was a story. It's a two-part story. So part one, everybody can read. Part two, only people who pay for the subscription can read. But it's about a long distance relationship. Well, they actually might be just around the corner from each other, but because of lockdown, they can't meet each other.
Yeah.
They've got a webcam relationship, and the dominant man sends his submissive some items in the post, and one of the items is one of those lovely fox's tails on a butt plug.
Oh.
So
Oh.
they play with and she's got a I think she's got a flogger or whatever. He gives her different challenges, and she's sort of preening about in front of the webcam so that he can see how she's enjoying and experiencing the different things he's sent her in the package.
That sounds marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that one. I haven't looked. I need to go and look. What bad, bad ISO. I get on the internet. I've been focused on my completing another book, and when I'm not doing that, I tend to be doing a few other things, projects, and so
Yeah.
yeah, I get on the internet, and I'll fall down the poetry tunnel. So thank you. We're going to go ahead, and we've only been on almost an hour. So I want
Oh,
to thank you so
sorry.
much for coming. No, though, that's okay. I could probably talk another hour, but then we'll go off on tangents, and who knows where we'd end up talking. Thank you so much for coming on today, and taking time to tell me where you're, just catch up. There's always so many fun projects you have going on. I love
Thank
that
you.
you are always growing and challenging yourself, and that is so amazing. Yeah, I just have to admire people who go out of their way to grow a little bit, to learn new things, to not stay in their little box.
Yeah, thank you.
That's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I think that it's so easy to let the day-to-day life just like we don't have time for anything. Well, we do have time. You just have to make some time
Well, I
to
think keeping it fresh makes me keep doing it. I think if I just stayed doing what I did when I very first started blogging, I'd probably be over it by now. But because I keep thinking, oh, I haven't tried this and I haven't tried that, and oh, I'd really like to work with that person, and I wonder if this or that person would let me write about their pictures or write about their films, that's what keeps it fresh for me.
Well, that just, and then stop it, stepping out and asking people. Some people are it can be intimidating to take that risk. You could be told no. But it's still a little bit of a risk. So I just that I think that's so neat. Thank you
Oh,
so much
thank
for
you.
coming on today. I always enjoy chatting with you.
Thank you, Rosalind. Thank you. Thanks for
You're
having
welcome.
me.
Oh, my music wasn't working. I don't know why it's still stuck on load, so I'm just going to say goodbye. Thank you, people.
Thank you
And
again.
have a great Monday. I will let you know when I repost this. It will be I'm behind. I have two other podcasts I need to post before I get this one up. So probably next Friday, I'm hoping, will be my goal to share this one out.
Sounds good. I'll send you the links
Okay.
that you need so that you can post those
Yes.
along as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, and have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.